This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, look out now. Hackers have figured out how to get into your USB device. And as cool as space exploration is, are we just throwing a ton of money into a big black hole? Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Oh, Phil, we keep beating our own drought records. We have some new numbers today. It'll tell us just how dry our state is.
Jay Capadonia has the day off and in his place. We'll learn more about him in a bit. It's Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Phil, thanks. Top experts in the field of Sharknadoes have determined that some of the stuff depicted on that sci-fi channel last night might not be all that scientifically accurate.
And pouring on the carbo load, it's Chris Martin.
Phil, I have a list of meals that you can order at most of your favorite restaurants that is guaranteed to help all of us who struggle so hard to gain weight. Details coming up.
All right, that's a good start. Thanks for tuning in today. We have a great show for you. And let's get things started with Jennifer. Yeah, things are dry. We're going to be washing out of a bucket here pretty soon in California. It's been so dry for so long, right?
Yeah, what you going to fill that bucket with, though? That's the thing. It's dry. More than half of California is now under the most severe level of drought. And this is for the first time since the federal government began issuing regular drought reports in the late 1990s. So that's a really long time. And that's new information released today. They say roughly 58% of California is considered in the exceptional zone. And that being exceptionally bad.
That exceptionally bad. So some cities, Glendale, Pasadena, they've restricted water use pretty tightly. 3 days a week for watering your lawn for only 10 minutes. And then the fines are up to $1,000 per.
I think we're
going to start seeing that spreading throughout the Southland if this gets any worse.
Yeah, I do, too. And, you know, in just the last week, 22% more of California was added into that exceptional drought category. So it's really spreading. And if you look at the lake levels, anywhere you go, if you go to Big Bear, of course, if you go to Lake Mead, you're going to see that big bathtub ring around it. But yeah, it's worse than you might think, looking at all the green lawns here in Southern California.
Super El Nino, take me away.
Right.
We need that thing to come here, don't we?
Yeah.
All right. So what's happening in Russia? Are we going back? I mean, people first started saying this about a month and a half or 2 months ago. They said, is the Cold War starting up again? And it seems like it's going beyond that. Are we going to get back to the USSR days like that?
You know, that song's been going through my head all day because ever since, with all the tougher sanctions with the Ukraine, all this stuff going on, Russia said yesterday it may start banning imports of chicken from the U.S. and fruit from Europe. Sounds kind of like sour grapes to me. And if you don't think that sounds bad, something like 20 or 30% of the chicken that is produced in the U.S. goes to Russia. And I actually have had a Russian chicken, and it's not good.
Russian chicken is not good?
Russian chicken is not good. The little fryer chickens that they sell, I actually ate one when I was in Egypt as a child. And when they had the Russian chickens, nobody lined up for them.
Ah.
So I'm telling you, it's a big deal that they're thinking about stopping U.S. chicken. And also, they're looking at investigating McDonald's cheese for safety. Hey, McDonald's, your cheese got hormones in it. Russia might not want it anymore.
Hormone cheese?
I know, we're going backward.
They won't even take us to the space station. That's how ticked off they are.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. In fact, we might touch upon that later in the program. We have a guy who's going to talk NASA with us. You know what my dad used to say? He loved being a mechanic. He'd wear his mechanic shoes and his work outfit, you know, the pants and the shirt that the mechanics wear with their name on the pocket. You know, the whole deal. And he always used to say, I don't envy those guys who work in a big office building. I don't want to wear a monkey suit to work. He always used to say that.
I was wondering where you're going with this, Phil.
That was something my dad used to say.
Right. Well, imagine wearing a real monkey suit to work. That actually might be kind of fun.
Sounds awesome.
Yes, right?
Sign me up.
So the government in India is hiring some guys to pose as menacing langur monkeys to scare off the hundreds of smaller monkeys that are terrorizing employees around the parliament and central government buildings. In fact, these monkeys that just kind of roam around, they chew telephone cables, attack employees for meals, occasionally even jump in through the windows and pace the corridors of power.
Are those monkeys, you talk about, are they macaques?
Yeah, I think that's what they're called. Is
macaques.
That what they're called?
Yeah.
Macaques.
Macaques.
Yeah, they're everywhere. It's like it's an infestation. But, you know, nothing is really getting rid of them. The rubber bullets just bounce right off. But the bigger, scarier monkeys?
Yeah.
Seem to be working, even if it's just a guy in a monkey suit.
Now we're talking.
Until one of these guys gets attacked by a swarm of monkeys, and then they're probably going to have to cancel this program.
It's a macaque attack.
Right. They'll say they'll demask. Ooh, when you say demask and you're talking about monkeys, sometimes that's really bad. That means tearing your whole face off. But if they tear the monkey mask off of this guy
and
reveal him as a fraud,
I'm going to have nightmares now.
You know.
Well, all right. Thanks for that. And
sure, no problem.
Let's properly introduce our guest co-host today, Greg Spillane, known as Gonzo Greg, when he was a morning drive disc jockey in Los Angeles for several years on the former heavy metal station, KNAC, in this market. Worked also in Philly and Louisville, Minneapolis, also in the Inland Empire at the rock station out there, KCAL, I believe it's called, and a handful of other stations, and has graciously brought his presence to the program today, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Well, thank you, Phil. I'll do my best to screw up your show. But my career path has been to try to work on every radio station in America one at a time.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, pros who try and be on all the stations at the same time.
Right. So, I forgot to mention you're also a big star in Las Vegas, so we should remember that. And you're not wearing that sequined jacket today, are you?
Not today.
All right.
Yeah, but I have been known to.
Big deal, Sharknado 2 last night.
Oh, Sharknado! Sharknado!
And yes! Look,
I recorded that. I can't wait to watch it.
And look at all the science that went into that, Greg.
Sharknado 2! Yes, Sharknado 2, the second one. The science, unfortunately, might be a little shaky. According to experts at AccuWeather, who have issued a statement regarding three prime points around the Sharknado mythos, if you will. And the primary one being that generally, a tornado probably wouldn't suck sharks out of the water to begin with, which I know kind of spoils it.
You said probably.
Probably. It's not very. It just wouldn't. It wouldn't. And even if it were able to pull a shark out of the water, or any marine life for that matter, the marine life probably would not be able to survive the spinning around thing of
to attack
tornado.
People on the streets.
Right. Exactly. To fly into, as in Sharknado 2. The second one, to New York City.
Right, but what if they're whales? Whales are mammals, right? Sharks are fish. So maybe it should be whale-nado.
Whale-nado.
Right, because they could breathe out of the water.
It doesn't even have a ring to it.
No, dare to dream, Jennifer. I'm with Jennifer on this one. Absolutely.
I'm trying to go with science, man.
Yes,
but
you've
ruined the entire thing. It's on my DVR now, and because the science isn't there, I don't want to watch it.
It's just think of it as being a little shaky, because also, tornadoes don't form over the water. That's a water spout. So, I mean, if you want to get into semantics, right?
Water spout-nado?
Shark-water-nado.
Shark-water-nado thing. And then the first one, if you recall, you know, the heritage of Sharknado started in Southern California, where a Sharknado was formed by a convolution of two large hurricanes, which probably wouldn't have formed because of the cool water off the coast. But, however, there is a bright spot. There is some scientific basis to Sharknado in that it's kind of based on climate change. So weather patterns clearly, as we've seen, seem to be getting worse because of climate change. So if climate change were to explode exponentially for hundreds of years, then we might be in for an actual real fun-filled actual Sharknado.
I will tell you, however, that I am still pleased that Tara Reid is gainfully employed.
Yes.
Right. Don't forget about Ian Ziering.
And Ian Ziering in charge of saving the world from sharks falling out of the sky.
But
so God bless them.
We didn't watch it, but apparently a lot of people did, Chris.
A bunch of people did. It was actually record-setting ratings for sci-fi. It's the most watched original movie on that network ever. And they had 1 billion impressions on Twitter. That is more than almost every blockbuster this year, including the Lego Movie and Transformers.
How many people watched this thing?
3.9 million people.
That's a lot for a cable channel.
At one point,
especially, and for a sequel, too, right?
Right, yeah.
Usually they drop off on sequels. That's better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, when we return, we're going to pack on the calories because Chris has a list of the highest caloric, what is it?
Caloric intake, caloric meals.
At restaurants, and Southern California fared well on this list.
Yes, they're all available to
us. In terms of high calorie count, and that's next here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2 on KFWB News Talk 980. I'm Phil. Jennifer Bjorklund is here. In for Jay Campidonia, it's Greg Spillane and Chris Martin as well. There's the friends for the day. And Chris, sometimes you just throw nutritional caution to the wind. You want to just pound the calories. And you have an interesting list for us today, don't you?
I do. Yeah, depending on our height and weight, on average, we should probably be eating around 2,000 to 3,000 calories per day.
Per day.
But there are places where you can pack in more than that in a single meal, and there's a list issued in the interest of the public of the highest calorie meals served in chain restaurants. And here are a few of SoCal's local favorites. You've got the Cheesecake Factory. If you swing by there, pick up the Brûléed French Toast, and in that one meal, you will get 2,780 calories.
Nothing.
Holy cow.
That's nothing.
Weak sauce for you?
Weak sauce. That's
a midnight snack.
That's a couple of refills on the Big Gulp right there.
Head over to Joe's Crab Shack then, because over there you can get the big hookup platter, which sounds delicious because I love seafood, but if I ate it, I would be eating 3,280 calories.
Whoa. Now we're talking.
Now you're starting to become impressed?
Yes.
Okay, well, see how this one treats you. Red Robin was the big winner. They have a monster-size A1 peppercorn gourmet burger with bottomless steak fries and a monster salted caramel milkshake that will cost you a whopping 3,540 calories.
That's burger, fries, and a shake.
Burger, fries, and a shake. All these meals, by the way, have about 4 days' worth of salt also.
I wonder what the first lady would think about that.
I love burgers and fries.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's on board.
Okay, so the question is, if it's bottomless fries, how many servings do you have to? Is that just one serving of the fries? Or if you have the bottomless fries, you can
really
crank
that total. Oh, that's
just one serving. Ugh.
But you don't stop there, not if you're a
trooper.
Not
if they're bottomless.
No, and you refill the soda and you refill your lemonade and your tea and whatever else you're drinking?
That'd be the monster salted caramel milkshake, Phil.
Yeah.
That's what you have with that meal.
Monster salted caramel milkshake.
So once the swelling goes down in your ankles, try to squeeze on your running shoes and hit the park.
Hey, can I get a side of lard, please? Just a side. Thank you.
All right. And while we're indulging in the pleasures of the flesh, Greg, today is a special day nationally, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, Phil. Thank you. Now men everywhere are bracing for another holiday that will just be just jam-packed with fail for all of us because we will fail to give our partners what they want. Because today, at least according to the internet, is National Orgasm Day.
Oh, yes.
Hooray! Yeah.
Hey, honey, guess what today is?
Yay!
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't put up the tree, no decorations or anything. And all the research I did, I can't find who's really responsible for it apart from the internets, but it seems to be some sort of UK-based holiday. So I
where
I guess
they feel more free to speak about these things. Typically.
Well, sure,
or they
the
have
English.
To have a holiday to actually experience it.
Right. Oh, the English. We brought you orgasm day. We also brought you bangers and mash. So there you go. Have fun with it. So yeah, it's a UK holiday. You celebrate by climaxing on the wrong side of the bed. Apart from the fact that it is allegedly National Orgasm Day, I have really no other information to offer.
All right.
Except that it is here, and you should be aware of it. Just in case.
I don't know why I'm flush all of a sudden, but thank you for that for that story.
I appreciated the moment, Phil. Thank you.
All right. Jennifer, you have a story about, it's underwater. Take us there, will you, please?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just going to pack up my little computer and go home after those two stories because I'm out done here, you know? But this is actually a pretty good story if you're into hidden treasure. A Florida family scavenging for sunken treasure on a shipwreck, which sounds great as it is, they stumbled across a 300-year-old gold filigree necklace, which is priceless and sacred to Spanish priests. They think it was lost in the wreckage of 11 ships that sank in 1715 during a hurricane off of Central Florida's East Coast. And then, as they were looking at it, they figured out that it fits into another artifact that was recovered 25 years ago. So now they have the whole thing, which is really, really cool. This family, by the way, discovered about $300,000 worth of gold coins and gold chains from the same wreckage.
Wow.
About a year ago. So they've been dipping back in to see
I
what they can find.
I discovered a fiver in my jacket pocket the other day. It was yeah. really
You know,
exciting.
I know. My husband found $5, too.
Isn't that wonderful?
Pocket. I said, how much money's in there? Because he pulls out his, you know, he puts on his pants. He's like, hey, he pulls out some money. And he says, at least $5, because that was on the outside. And I'm like, well, open it up, see how many more dollars are in there. He's like, eh. And then he pulls out a piece of paper and he says, and apparently it's change from a chicken sandwich.
So, yeah. Imagine if you actually did find a filigree. You wouldn't know that's what it was called, though, right? You'd have to say, hey, what is this? Well, that's a filigree. Well, a what?
I would say it's gold doily or something.
Who's going to get to keep it, by the way, do you think?
Well, what happens, I actually know this by law, it's going to be placed into the U.S. District Court. And then the state of Florida might take possession of it. And if they have a monetary value on it, they get 20%. The rest is split evenly between the company that did the expedition and the family that found it.
Yeah, right. But seriously, what's a filigree?
It looks like a gold doily.
A gold doily. Hmm. You know what a doily is?
Yeah, I think it's like, isn't it like a coaster that you put your drink on?
No, you put your grandma's a bowl of flowers on top of the doily.
Oh, okay.
Right, it's like lace. It looks like gold lace. Yeah.
You put it, it's like a center of a table piece?
It's from a bygone era. In fact, technology has gotten rid of a lot of things for us. There's a whole list of completely irrelevant phrases that we used to use. Phrases we used to use commonly all the time. I'm doing this because coming up after the bottom of the hour, our tech guy, Jeremy, is going to be here. He's got some great stories. But this one, 8 phrases that have become completely irrelevant thanks to technology. For instance, be kind, rewind.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't apply at all anymore, does it?
That used to be on the Stars and Stripes, didn't it? Like the original with the 13 colonies?
Exactly.
Right, okay.
Call me collect. I'm developing the photos. Remember the photo mat?
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for the pictures to come back.
They kept them. Check the classifieds. Who does that anymore? Call a travel agent.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for directions. Call 411. Or they're in the Yellow Pages. We don't do any of these things anymore, do we?
They left the Yellow Pages outside our houses the other day in the apartment next door. The neighbors upstairs, they won't touch it. They're afraid of it. They don't know what it is.
They don't know what it is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they just leave it there.
What will life be, Chris, without Big Bang Theory?
It's going to be rough. A lot of people are going to have trouble getting through their week, but the smash hit series from CBS is officially in production delay. The Stars have not reached a deal with Warner Brothers yet, and they refused to show up to the table read yesterday. So, no info on when they'll return, but we do know what they want.
Filigrees.
They want filigrees and they want gold-coated filigrees. They want $1 million per half hour, plus back end on the show, which is already in syndication.
Wow.
So the negotiation would be for
Friends money.
They want Friends money, and they want Friends money for 3 more seasons because Warner Brothers signed them up for 3 more seasons, 24 episodes per year. Oh, you guys do the math because it's hurting my head how much money these kids are going to be making. But yeah,
That's and bottomless fries.
Close to 100 million.
People
over
like
two
them.
Years.
People like them a lot. Like they like Star Wars characters, Greg.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Have you? This is outstanding. As the news media, and God bless us for it, are doing our best to get everybody excited about the 2016 presidential election coming up. It's 2016, everybody. There's been some research done to see who the most appealing candidates are. And so they've done some research and says, okay, they've got this, and we got that, and that. And if you compare the data, you'll find that the next president of the United States will be. Anybody want to take a guess? Next president? Maybe just shoot it out there.
I'm going to have to say Hillary.
Jeb
Hillary?
Bush.
Hillary, Jeb, yeah. It will be Darth Vader.
What? Great.
Yeah, Darth Vader will be the next president of the United States. Based on approval rating, Darth Vader has better approval ratings than all of the current 2016 presidential candidates that are on the radar at the moment. Darth Vader.
Yes.
Sith Lord is doing better than all of them.
Come to the dark side.
Nice job, Darth.
Very good. Well, thank you for the first half hour. Can it get even better in the second? I believe it will when you find out who we're speaking to. In fact, hackers have figured out how to get into your USB device. You know that thing you plug into your computer or into your phone or wherever you plug it in? Great, right? That and a whole lot more when our tech guy, Jeremy, you know who he is, the one with the drone that almost got him arrested by the feds. He joins us live. Next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com, where you can check on every single show that we've ever done. They're all there for you to listen to on demand, to share, to download. To play in reverse for the hidden messages. I'm Phil, Jennifer's here, Chris is here, and Jay has the day off, so Gonzo Greg Spillane is filling in. And we're going to start talking tech in just a moment, but there was something, Chris, about Snapchat. What happened there?
Snapchat might have made the greatest decision in business history. You know, Facebook offered $3 billion to Snapchat last year to purchase it sometime around this time last year, and now the company's been valued at over $10 billion.
Hey, that's a $7 billion good decision right there.
Yeah, it's a 24-year-old owner, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Available?
Inventor, I should say. Evan Spiegel. Yes.
Even. All right.
Invented the app when he was in college.
We have so much tech to cover, tech ground to cover, and covering the ground in the air and on the ground, it's our tech guy, Jeremy Antoconi. Jeremy, you just flew in. Are your arms tired?
They are very tired. How are you doing, friends?
Doing great. Having a good day today, but we're a little concerned about our USB devices all of a sudden.
Yeah, some security researchers at SR Labs have discovered that the firmware, that's what actually stores data and software that runs these devices, can actually be overwritten, which is pretty scary because anti-malware and anti-spyware tools are typically configured to check the operating system, the software that's running on top of the computer, and aren't necessarily looking at the hardware level. So pretty scary stuff. This is research that is going to be published at next week's Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas, and they haven't actually discovered this in the wild, although they did note that it is simple enough that the NSA may already be doing it. So.
Oh.
Pretty scary stuff. Of course, this could enable keyloggers, which would track what people are typing into their computers. Could be eavesdropping on communications, or of course, what many viruses are known to do, destroying data. So,
how do they get into it through your computer connection, or do they?
Yeah. So basically, when the device is plugged into the computer, you're able to then modify the firmware, which previously was thought to be only possible when the device was created and built at the factory. But they've discovered that they can actually get into that firmware and rewrite it. And the trick is doing so that it doesn't affect the usage of the device, which, of course, if your device stopped working normally, then you might be pulling it out and trying to troubleshoot it. But kind of scary stuff.
Yeah. I think what everybody should have from now on their thumb drive, you should Photoshop a picture of the director of the NSA in ladies' clothing and put that on your thumb
excellent,
drive.
Excellent suggestion.
Should always be there. Actually, look what we found. Back before the explosion of high-powered and app-filled smartphones. I remember seeing reports about the next personal computer is going to be about the size of your wallet, and it's you're going to pull up a gooseneck, and it will project your keyboard and your screen right there on the table or on the wall that you're sitting next to, and you won't need the hardware anymore. It'll all be projected. Are we getting closer to something like that?
We may be. This is kind of a cool product that's just about to come out. You know, as you mentioned, Pico projectors, as they're called, are these microscopic projectors that will then project onto a wall or onto a screen and essentially give you the ability to see on a much larger scale what's going on either on your computer or now on your smartphone. This one is called a Touch Pico, and the reason that this is so interesting is that it combines the projection, but also makes it so that the image that's projected becomes essentially an 80-inch touchscreen. So you're able to actually interact with it as if it was, like a tablet device.
So you Did you
actually...
say 80 inch?
80 inch. So the device is obviously very small. It is, about the size of a, another, smartphone, a little bit bigger. It has a price point of $349. But before we get too excited about it, there's a few things that kind of are downfalls to it. One is that it's not going to allow you just to go up and touch on the wall and have it respond to your touch. You have to use a fairly large stylus, and that's being able to track where you are actually interacting with the screen.
What, like the size of a yardstick?
Well, it's kind of like the size of a cigar, maybe. It's
could it
kind
be
of a
like a lightsaber?
Device. It could. You could use it as
a
lightsaber.
That would be kind of cool.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
The other downside to it, of course, is that because it is so small and the battery life is constrained, it only puts out about 80 lumens, which is not terribly bright, and of course would really require a darkened room for you to be able to.
Oh, like
to
an HD TV would do like 4,200 lumens, something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's much less bright than some of the other devices or a dedicated projector. But I think that for a version one product, pretty cool stuff. Yeah. You can check it out on Indiegogo, and I would expect that the next versions of it will be even better.
Yeah, step in the right direction. But speaking of TVs, it seems like the general public let 3D TVs kind of fall on their face, and they're just still laying there. And then all of a sudden, we got 4K TVs. But those seem to be moving along, version this, version that, and now where are we with these?
Well, Phil, you're saying that you didn't just run out and get a 3D TV and then
I don't think a whole lot of people did, because I went over to the Costco the other day where at Christmas time it was nothing but 3D TVs. Good luck finding one now.
Yeah, right.
And it's not because they're sold out.
I know, but do you remember the first time you ever put on those stupid glasses and looked at a 3D TV at a store, and you're like, oh, man, I have to have one of these. And then I forgot about it.
Yeah. I think
I remember the first time I saw it at the Consumer Electronics Show. The first time I saw it was without glasses. You actually had a spot marked on the floor. You had to stand in this very specific spot, and then you would actually see the 3D effect without any glasses. But, just a couple inches to the side either way, and you actually started feeling seasick.
Not ready for prime time. But
no, I don't think so.
We're getting so far past that now with what's new. And what is new?
Well, 4K TVs are, of course, the next great thing, and they obviously want you to go out and run out and buy another TV to display this, beautiful high-resolution content. But, again, the same kind of challenge with the 3D TVs is that there really isn't a whole lot of content out there. But here's a bigger issue. There's a new standard called HDCP 2.2, and what that stands for is a copy protection encryption methodology that protects the content from your cable box or your Blu-ray player up to your TV so that you don't put a device in the middle and try to copy that content. Well, as it turns out, a lot of the first 4K TVs that were sold last year didn't support HDCP 2.2. And so you may be in, kind of up a creek if, this 4K content starts coming out and your device doesn't support it. So if you are looking at getting a 4K TV, just make sure that it does support HDCP 2.2.
All right. Jeremy, we know you're a big Apple iPhone guy. You love the Mac, all of that sort of thing. We've made no bones about that over the years. And, I'm on the other side. I like the Windows. I like the Androids. I like all of that stuff. But our guest co-host today, Greg Spillane, has an interesting iPhone story he'd like to run past you.
Well, yeah, there's evidence out there that suggests that that Siri is really a jealous, vindictive strumpet, a harlot, really, in that when a new Apple smartphone comes out, she gets a little crabby and slows down. There's a study by a Harvard economics student, and she studied the metric between searches on the internet about you know, iPhone slow, that search skyrockets whenever the new iPhone comes out. So the speculation is, do they actually slow down, or is it because of a software upgrade, or do they? Is there a conspiracy here?
You know, there certainly could be a conspiracy going on. You know, obviously, when the new iPhones come out, it does coincide with the new versions of the software that also roll out. And Apple is, you know, very different from some of the other smartphone manufacturers in the sense that they roll out their software very quickly to all of the supported devices in their product line. So you can have a device that may be several years old, and as soon as that new software is out, you're able to use it, which is, of course, one of the challenges with Android, is that once Google puts out an update, it has to go through the, you know, device manufacturers and then finally get down to the consumer. But, you know, you there very well could
be some
truth to that. So it'd be interesting to see if we see even more of that when the next one comes out September.
I'm sitting right here. I'm in the same room. You're talking about me like
that. The truth hurts. Yeah. He's not lying.
Jeremy Antoconi, with that, I'm going to kick you out of here. We'll talk to you next week.
See you then.
All right. There goes our tech guy. And it's been – when I first heard this, I was shocked that time has flown, that I've gotten this old so fast, because 45 years ago, more or less, Americans first landed on the moon. But the question today that we ask is, are we any better for it? And we're going to explore that question with somebody who has dug way into it and found all the stories behind the stories. And you'll join us live next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Big program today here on KFWB News Talk 980. And by the way, we have a Twitter handle. It's at As We See It Show. Go ahead and say anything that you want there as long as it's within the 140 characters. I think you can get a lot done and you can hurt a lot of feelings, so be careful. In fact, I think sometimes in life, we try real hard not to hurt people's feelings, but when it comes down to it, we just never tell the truth. Isn't that right, Greg Spillane?
We're filthy liars that lie.
Yes, we are. We lie about almost everything, it seems.
I thought you lied to me. I thought you were going to talk about the liars. But this is true. Here's the thing. New research indicates that when you had that delicate conversation with your significant other about, you know, what's your number? Did you ever have the what's your number conversation? How many people? But if you had it, chances are it was a lie. It was all a lie. It was I believe it was a 14% chance that was everything that you got in that story was a lie.
So don't we do that to protect the other person's feelings a little bit?
Yeah, but when you call the fake phone number and it's the
no, he's not talking about that number.
Not that number.
Yeah,
the number.
So hey, before we got together, so tell me
remember
a little
Phil,
bit about
years
oh
and
that
years
number.
Ago when you were, yeah,
yeah, number.
That
what's
number.
Your what's your relationship? You know what?
For some people, it's as long as a phone number.
God bless my. You know, my lovely wife though, she never asked me that question. Never.
Really?
And I never asked her.
Don't.
I've never had that conversation with anyone because you're right. If
well, let's
you want
have
the
it
truth
now.
Or do you want to lie?
Let's just bring it out. 14% of people have lied to their significant other about their previous experience. We're more likely to lie to our parents than anybody else. 37%. Here's the big one. 37% of people have told the lie to get out of work. That's the big one right there.
Wow.
I'm not
Yeah, and the other percentage is lying.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly. No, they did this survey, and what was funny was a certain percentage of the people who lied, or they said that they lied while taking the survey.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I don't believe any of this. So
exactly. And I may be lying. I may have just made this entire thing up.
We're going to go back 45 years ago, and hopefully they weren't lying to us then. But if you were old enough to watch Neil Armstrong jump off the ladder of the lunar module of Apollo 11 and place his feet on the moon, you shared a thrilling moment with every other American alive at the time. What an accomplishment. We beat those commie bastards to the moon. Just like JFK said we would, except he used gentler words. But go Team America. Well, what's happened since that? I mean, most of us can agree. Has there been anything equally exhilarating? I'm not sure. Rod Pyle has written several books and produced numerous documentaries for the History Channel, Discovery Communications, including the acclaimed Modern Marvels, Apollo 11. He's also an adjunct professor at the University of Laverne and a lecturer with NASA Johnson Space Center. And his most recent books, Innovation, The NASA Way, and Curiosity, Inside the Mars Rover Mission, both of which are available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And joining us live is Rob Pyle. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Great. Lovely to speak with you. And so you're pretty sure we actually walked on the moon, right?
You mean you're talking about when we beat our Russian allies to the moon?
Oh, they're our allies.
Well, they were a few months ago.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Pretty sure, you know. Every now and then when you're on AM radio, people like to call in and say something else, usually on the East Coast. I think we're a little smarter out here.
Hey, but, come on.
It never happened, man.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Well, here's the better question, though. Why haven't we gone back?
It's hard. It's hard to do. I mean, we had 5% of the national budget at our disposal for Apollo, and we had a presidential proclamation, two speeches saying, we're going to do this. We had a perfect storm, if you will, with an enemy of the Soviet Union. And then, sadly, JFK was assassinated, and the Apollo program, which people attempted to cancel numerous times along the way, became this political hot potato you couldn't touch. We had a martyred president's vision. So all those things combined, including with some really enlightened management and leadership within NASA, caused this thing to happen. Even at that, though, after 3 years, it was canceled. They canceled the last three flights, and we moved on to Skylab and the space shuttle, and we've been stuck in Earth orbit ever since.
Yeah, remember Skylab. Wow. It seemed with the space shuttle program, too, when that was canceled, it felt like the air went out of NASA again. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, and especially, JPL soldiers on a very, very small budget because there's less at stake with unmanned missions, and they can do a lot more with less money. But I was spending time at Johnson Space Center for a couple of years, 2009, 2010, Constellation had just been canceled. And there are a lot of gray faces. And it was sad because they had enough money to administratively cancel the Constellation return to the moon mission for 2004, but they didn't have enough money to scrape the big decal of the Constellation rocket off the side of the first building.
Oh.
So every day you had
so
to drive
sad.
Looking at the canceled project. Yeah. Jeez. So it did let the air out of the tires. I mean, they've got a new rocket they're building right now. There's a lot of tussling in Congress over when's it going to be finished and where's it going to go. It's only a couple years old, and it's already – the report came out the other day that it's desperately behind schedule and under budgeted. And we've been here before. We went through this with Constellation and to some extent the shuttle. So,
well, what's the point when you have these private firms making rockets and turning them out quickly?
Yeah, like SpaceX is just rocking it. You know,
SpaceX, if I was to make a line of T-shirts, they'd say, don't bet against Elon Musk because the guy is amazing.
Yeah.
10 years ago, he said to NASA and the Air Force, I'm going to build rockets. And they said, sure you are. Go ahead.
Right.
And now he's done that. And he's got a new capsule that looks like the foredeck of the shuttle. I mean, it's amazing. The thing is, though, for the most part, except for his future vision, at least 10 years away, all these private firms are aiming for suborbital and orbital. The idea behind NASA's SLS is to go out beyond the moon and possibly to Mars one day, but we got to build the thing first, and then we got to fly it often enough to amortize it.
Well, the Mars rovers seem pretty cool. I mean, Curiosity, all of that stuff. It sounds great, even though they're only covering maybe, one square foot a month when they're up there roving around on Mars.
That's unfair. It's more than that.
Is it a little
like
more than
I clean my bathroom
pretty
much?
Okay, maybe it's a yard,
it's not
maybe.
A Roomba, you guys. Come on.
It is a Roomba. It's the Mars Roomba.
Curiosity is at about 5 miles. Opportunity just finished doing about 25 miles. Okay. You know, so they move slowly, but they do incredibly good work. And they just announced today the instrument package for the Mars 2020 rover. So there's a lot of cool stuff going up. They got a high-def zoom camera and all kinds of new things. What's kind of telling is that they've got a drill on it that's going to drill core samples. It's not just going to drill up powder. It's going to actually drill little cigarette-sized core samples and store them. But then we have to get a mission approved to go fetch them and bring them home, and nobody's done that yet. So it's.
But wait, if we can have a mission to set people up there and go get them, can't they just go up there and drill them themselves and come back?
No, that mission's unmanned. All those missions are unmanned.
Oh,
well, there is a manned mission. Chris, you mentioned this before we did the show. Ask this one.
Yeah, Rob, I did a story that seemed to me to be pretty official, that NASA is actually working on grabbing an asteroid out of a local asteroid field, and they're going to set it into orbit around the moon sometime, I think it was around 2018, 2019. That's a true story, right?
Yeah, that's their current plan. After going back and forth about, are we going back to the moon, are we not? Oh, the Chinese are going, gee, what are we going to do? They decided on what they call the asteroid redirect mission. And originally, they were going to go out past the moon to visit a full-size planetoid. Then they decided, no, we'll go grab an asteroid with a robot, drag it back into moon orbit, and visit it there. And technologically, it's really cool, and it's kind of an adventure. But the media moment is going to be two astronauts hovering around something the size of a motorhome. Yeah. So it's going to be neat, but it's not quite Mars. You know
Wee-hoo!
What I mean?
Yeah. We got a motorhome around the moon. Yeah.
I hope they take a GoPro because I want to watch that on television. And
oh,
I think
you'll see every bit. Believe yeah. They've learned.
Yes, they have. Well, Rob Pyle, a pleasure to Rod Pyle. I'm sorry, is it Rod or Rob? It's Rob.
R-O-D.
R-O-D. Rod Pyle. The books, Innovation, The NASA Way, and Curiosity Inside the Mars Rover Mission. Again, buy them in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thank you, sir. We enjoyed speaking with you, even for an abbreviated time. And that'll do it for today. We love your comments. We have an email address, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. Twitter, @AsWeSeeItShow. The Facebook page, facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Our production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song, composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, the vacationing Jay Campanonia. For Gonzo Greg Spillane and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.